you people hear me tell my tale. Come on, all you people hear me tell my sad tale. I'm through with all of my worries, and I don't even want no bail. I kill my woman, I'm in a hurry, I'm going to the county jail.
A blues singer named Smith, who accompanied himself on the guitar while he was circulating throughout Texas during the 1920s and early 1930s. And in between September 1930 and April 1935, he made phonograph records for Vocalion as a solo act in the company of a few of his friends. Out of more than 50 sides involving Smith that were listed in the studio logs, and more than half were never issued, and have since disappeared. His career ended abruptly when he slew a man during an argument either about money owed or a woman regarded as his property. Sentenced to 25 years in the pen, he is said to have perished in his cell around 1940. Or did he? While other record labels have touched upon his legacy, who was Funny Papa, Funny Paper Smith, John T. Smith, the Howling Wolf? Welcome to Dead Wax 78. I'm your host, Sean, and, you know, we're going to talk about hip tunes and lost talent. This show is about the Howling Wolf mystery. John T. Smith, blues guitarist and singer known as Funny Papa Smith, was born in East Texas sometime around 1885 or 1890. Smith helped develop and popularize the Texas blues guitar style during that late 1920s and 1930s. He is often compared to Blind Lemon Jefferson. Smith's style consisted of detailed melody lines and repetitive bass riffs, as well as what he had been called as a surprisingly refined country blues vocal style. Some critics also found his style more sophisticated than that of other guitarists of his generation because of his unique use of alternating thumb picking. Others, however, noted his tendency to play out of tune. Little is known about Smith, and some reported details of his life are probably made up. He was a busking street musician in Texas, in Louisiana, and Oklahoma. Smith played at parties, juke joints, and fish fries. He released around 10 singles in his own name, or variants thereof. He also recorded with Bernice Edwards, Black Boy Shine, Magnolia Harris, and Dessa Foster. His best-known song was Howling Wolf Blues, of which several variants were recorded. Many of his recordings were unreleased at the time. He had a brief recording career, like I said, with Vocalion Records. Here's side one, Howling Wolf Blues Part 1 on Vocalion 1930.
Well, here I am, got to blues about the old Victoria, the Howling Wolf. Well, guess I'll drop a few lines. I'm that wolf that everybody been trying to find out when the world I prowl. I'm that wolf that everybody been trying to find out when the world I prowl. Nobody ever gets a chance to see me, but they all hear me when I howl. I howl to my baby with her mother standing by her side. I howl to my baby with her mother standing by her side. And that's the reason I'm howling, I'm trying to be satisfied. I even prowled for you, baby, when you was down and couldn't stand up on your feet. I even fell for you, baby, when you were down and couldn't stand up on your feet. Now you walk by the lone wolf and act like you don't want to speak. What made you quit me? I love you and I did 3 years ago. What made you quit me, babe? I love you and I did 3 years ago. Take me back and I'll quit prowling and I won't ever howl no more. And a preacher told me that God would give a black man most anything he do. Preacher told me God will give a black man most anything he do. I ain't black, but I'm dark complected. Look like he ought to forgive me too. Look like God don't treat me like I'm a humankind. Seem like God don't treat me like I'm a humankind. Seem like he wants me to be a prowler and a howling wolf all the time.
As a young man, Smith worked at the Lincoln Theater in New York City. He also lived in Oklahoma for a while. He married in the 1920s and played at local dances, picnics, and fairs in Texas and Oklahoma, pairing frequently with bluesman Thomas Shaw. Though Smith played in the Dallas area during the 1920s and 1930s, he began his recording career in the 1930s, for Vocalion labels in Chicago, like I said. He recorded nearly 20 songs during that 1930s and 1931, including Howling Wolf Blues, Part 1 and 2, from which he took the pseudonym The Howling Wolf. Smith's real nickname, Funny Papa, was erroneously printed as Funny Paper on his first records. He is said to have frequently worn a stovepipe hat, which had his name stitched onto it. Funny Papa's adoption of the wolf seems to have come from a ferocity of which he was obviously proud. Smith's funniest lines, heard on The Fool's Blues, are a little bit self-deprecating, but most of the time he kept his defenses up while singing about real life, which for him meant being dark-skinned within the U.S., racially segregated system, and about being a man with passions, habits, and tendencies that could and did escalate into violence. Funny Papa Smith's music was magical, mythical, his poetic lyrics among the best, if not the best, of the original blues performers. His crafted words weren't merely call and answer stanza lines, but were deeply thought out, with a narrative line complex in its crude way. His lyrics have a sophistication lacking in most early blues tunes. Here's side two, Seven Sisters, part one.
They tell me seven sisters in New Orleans that can really fix a man up right. They tell me seven sisters in New Orleans that can really fix a man up right. And I'm headed for New Orleans, Louisiana. I'm traveling both day and night. I am Sally's oldest sister, look just like she's 21. I am Sally's oldest sister, look like she's just 21. And said she can look right in your eyes and tell you exactly what you want done. They tell me they've been hung, been bled and been crucified. They tell me they've been hung, been bled and been crucified.
justified. But I just want enough help to spend only water and rule the tide. It's bound to be seven sisters, 'cause I've heard it by everybody else. It's bound to be seven sisters, I've heard it by everybody else. 'Cause I'd love to take their word, but I'd rather go and see for myself. When I leave the seven sisters out, pile stones all around. When I leave the seven sisters out, pile stones all around. And go to my babe and tell her there's another seven sister man in town. Good morning, seven sisters, just thought I'd come down and see. Good morning, seven sisters, I thought I'd come down to see. Will you build me up where I'm torn down and make me strong where I'm weak?
Wolf, you done killed me. The man named High Pockets Hicks stumbled along a small white picket fence. It all started when guitarist Texas Alexander held a guitar contest in Frederick, Oklahoma, with Wolf betting $150 as a side bet that he'd win. Hicks played better, and Howling Wolf lost the contest, which upset Wolf not only because he'd lost the contest, but because he'd also been spending his money on a woman who was seeing High Pockets on the side. This woman had a car and fine clothes that Howling Wolf had bought for her. Wolf said to her, "You must pick me or High Pockets." And she said, "I'm sorry, I love Hicks." The next day, Wolf went to a gambling house and confronted Hicks. As Wolf was backing out the door and Hicks coming at him, Wolf said, "Don't you come up on me." Backing down the porch as Hicks closed in, Wolf pulled his little penknife, his arm shot out, and he cut Hicks in the throat. Smith was arrested for killing a man in an argument. He was jailed on a charge of murder and spent a few years in a Texas penitentiary. If this dark tale of murder is true, it leaves many questions. Some speculate as to the truth of the tale. Smith resurfaced several more times during the 1930s, begging the question, why didn't he serve more time in jail? A Jim Willett, a former warden at Huntsville who ran the Texas Prison Museum, has been unable to locate any records of a J.T. Smith being incarcerated for murder. Perhaps Howling Wolf got off for self-defense. Another possibility is that the man claiming to be Howling Wolf was an impersonator and not J.T. Smith. But if Smith served time, it was just a couple of years, because he was called back to Vocalion in 1935 for a mammoth recording session in Fort Worth. From April 20th to April 23rd, and he recorded 32 sides featuring himself, Black Boy Shine, and Bernice Edwards. This included Howling Wolf Blues, parts 5 and 6. Only three sides with Edwards were released, one of these with his name as Howling Wolf. The rest of the recordings are lost, considered faulty, and dumped. But by 1935, records weren't selling anyway. It was the height of the Great Depression. And in 1929, record sales went from $140 million a year. That figure dropped to like $6 million a year by 1934. It wasn't until 1941 that the record industry would even be revived. Here's side three, Corn Whiskey Blues, Vocalion, 1931. Thank you.
drink in that bottle, and let's have another drink of booze. I bring in that bottle, and let's have another drink of booze. Cause I can feel something coming, and it seems something like the blues. I can tell when I've got a blues is coming. I can't help but feel so low down. I can tell when the blues is coming. I can't help but feel so low down. Then I want to get drunk and pitch a booger all over town. Start drinking, I'm mean and hateful, and I won't treat nobody right. When I start drinking, I'm mean and hateful, and won't treat nobody right. I just keep on walking, looking for places where they fuss and fight. Keep on drinking until I find me a good corn friend. I'm gonna keep on drinking till I find me a good corn friend. And when I can't find good corn, I'll drink moonshine again. I've got a girl in Texas. She lives 4 miles from town. I've got a girl in Texas. She lives 4 miles from town. And on account of moonshine, her people don't lie me round.
This astonishing blues artist is little known these days. One reason his life is a mystery is because there are few documented histories available for any scrutiny. But the primary reason Smith is forgotten, his stage name, Howling Wolf, was usurped by a louder, more famous, and well-known performer 10 years after Smith vanished from the music scene. When you research Howling Wolf, you find that name references the career of Chester Burnett, once named by Rolling Stone as the 54th greatest artist in music history. That wolf was born Chester Arthur Burnett, and as a child, Burnett claimed his grandfather nicknamed him Wolf. Other times, Burnett claimed he was named by country folk legend Jimmy Rogers. Most of J.T. Smith's history is known only because of Thomas Shaw. Shaw was an old-time blues songster from Texas who was rediscovered in San Diego in the late 1960s by record store owner Lou Curtis. Curtis owned Folk Arts Rare Records. He was a music historian who sponsored festivals in San Diego. He also worked with the Smithsonian on their recordings of rare music. Shaw walked into Curtis's store and asked to buy guitar strings. Curtis began to visit with Shaw and discovered he'd been living in the area since 1934. Shaw had become a preacher with a church run out of his house that he called Noah's Temple of the Apostolic Faith. Shaw claimed to have known Blind Lemon Jefferson, Ramblin' Thomas, Texas Alexander, and J.T. Smith. Curtis at once set about recording Shaw. Apparently, Shaw had toured with Alexander, taking the place of J.T. Smith after Smith killed High Pockets Hicks. Recent research by the music historian Mac McCormick has related a compelling argument for a different scenario. They suggest that John Smith was merely an assumed name used by the artist to evade trouble back home. In a 1962 interview, McCormick played one of Smith's records for Mrs. Alberta Cook, White of Smithsville, Texas, who identified the singer as her older brother, Otis Cook, whom she claimed was born there in Barstrop County on April 1, 1910. She related that he learned to play guitar as a youth and began rambling around the state of Texas, leaving behind life as a farmer in favor of becoming an itinerant songster, playing at local functions and sometimes leaving home for weeks at a time to visit Waco or Dallas, possibly encountering Blind Lemon Jefferson along the way. He was reportedly known to most of his contemporaries as Howling Wolf, not as Funny Papa or Funny Paper, and he was described as being a tall, dark-skinned man of about 165 pounds. To complicate matters, it was suggested that Howling Wolf name may have been used by more than one musician in Texas around the same time. Since his documents suggest he was incarcerated at Ramsey State Farm in Texas on a charge of attempted arson in the spring of 1930, after which he promptly made for Chicago. There, Smith began his career as a recording artist for Vocalion Records, the details surrounding which are considerably more certain than those surrounding his identity. Dessa Foster and J.T. Funny Paper Smith duet and banter on a novelty blues in the manner of those made by Victoria Spivey and Lonnie Johnson for OK, while Smith accompanies on the guitar, it has been proposed that Dessa Foster is a pseudonym for Mississippi Delta blues singer Maddie Delaney. And on the first part of the comic duet, Tell It to the Judge No. 1, Howling Smith plays the part of a police officer barging into Miss Foster's house with the question, "Where that booze at?" So here's side four, Melatonin 1931, Tell It to the Judge.
On my door.
Police officer, open this door before I shoot the knob off.
Wait, man. I'll let you in.
Where that booze at?
I'm telling you this morning, I'm tired of you searching my house. I'm telling you this morning, I'm tired of you searching my house.
Temper, but please don't lose your head. You can lose your temper, mama, but please don't lose your head. I'm gonna search this shack this morning. Come on and hear this search warrant read. Last time I searched this shack, you know I found a happy pot of gin. Last time I searched this shack, I found a happy pot of gin. Now what's the meaning of all this here liquor? Call the wagon, cause I'm going to run you in.
Give me a break.
But yet what I'm gonna tell you before you go. You've had lots of breaks, Betty, but yet what I'm gonna tell you before you go. You'd better get on your knees and ask for mercy, cause the judge ain't giving breaks no more.
Now, some say Smith died on June 30th, 1940, and is buried in the L. Butler Nelson Cemetery in Dallas. His grave is marked with a plain marble veteran's tombstone. On June 17, 2008, the city of Dallas made that cemetery a landmark and provided a historic preservation overlay to that area. If you contact the city's Office of Historic Preservation, no one has any information about Smith. And as for Otis Cook, it is believed he settled down with the family back home in Barstrop, where he later died on August 29, 1979. A testament to the real reputation in his home state, the Howling Wolf Blues later became something of a standard among Texas blues players. Now dubbed Funny Paper Smith, all we know is someone entered the studio for the first time on September 18, 1930 to make two unreleased test recordings for the Vocalion Company, Hobo Blues and Old Rounders Blues. Smith, the original Howling Wolf, has no known photograph. Pictures of him on album covers or in blues magazines are often of other performers, usually a blues artist named Black Ace. Whoever Smith was, he had a rare ability to create vocal melodies and accompaniment patterns of subtle novelty, and his compositions repeatedly suggest that he had an unusual personality. He is the kind of musician without whom, even if we had had no influence upon others whatsoever, the blues of the 30s would have been considerably poorer. Thank you for listening. I'm Sean, and you know what? I'll catch you on the flip side.